Generator of total material energy, Prakriti, material energy, Vyaktam, Mahatattva, Atma, false ego, Bhuta, five material elements, Indriya, ten senses, Asaya, mind, Shaknavanti, are able, Asya, of this universe, Sargado, in the creation. Without, yet, of whom? Anugrahat, mercy. Translation of the three Purushas, the material nature, the total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence and consciousness cannot create the material manifestation without the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as confirmed in the Vishnu Purana, Parasya, Brahmana, Shakti, State, Tatam, Akilam Jagat, whatever manifestations we experience are nothing but various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These energies cannot create anything independently. This is also confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate, etc. Acharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving living beings. Only under the direction of the Lord, the Supreme Person, can Prakriti, which is manifested in 24 elements, create different situations for the living entity. In the Vedas, the Lord says, since everything is a manifestation of my energy, I am known as Param Brahman. Therefore, everyone should hear from me about my glorious activities. I am the origin, and the Bhagavad, the Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita, Adirhi Deva Nam, I am the origin of all the demigods. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of God is the origin of everything, and no one is independent of Him. Srila Madhvacharya also says, Anisha Jiva Rupena, the living entity is Anisha, never the controller, but is always controlled. And therefore, when a living entity becomes proud of being independent, Ishvara or God, that is his foolishness. Such foolishness is described in the following verses. Translation: three Purushas, the material nature, the total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, intelligence, and consciousness cannot create material manifestation without the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the previous verses, Victor Sura was talking about how everyone is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord. No one can do anything independently, and the results come because of the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So in this particular verse, again, he's emphasizing the fact that the Lord is the controller. So without his mercy, vina anugraha, nothing happens in the material world. So this particularly applies to the creation. So in the Bhagavatam and in Sankhya philosophy, there is a list of what constitutes material world. So we have matter. So there are different divisions in matter. So we have prakriti, we have mahatattva, we have ahankara, we have mind, we have senses, the 10 senses, that is, the karmendriya and the ganendriya. We have sense objects. These cannot create anything on their own. First of all, only prakriti exists. And only by the influence of Mahavishnu is it able to start producing ahankara, mahatattva, etc. Even then, once the elements are created, they can do nothing by themselves. So again, the Lord has to combine them together, and they make universes. And in the universes, again, then we need some more influence. And therefore, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu produces Brahma, and Brahma produces bodies for the living entities and planets, places where they can live. So the material nature, the elements of material nature, either as a whole, that is as prakriti, or as individual constituents like earth, water, fire, air, etc., they can't do anything. So they need the influence of the Supreme Lord, called here His mercy. So in other words, though it may look from our point of view that matter acts on its own, ultimately, it actually cannot do so. Whatever power it has to combine together and make things is ultimately under the Supreme Lord by His will. Without that will, nothing happens. So, that will, of course, we cannot see directly. How do we measure scientifically that the Lord has been merciful to prakriti so it can create? There's no way of detecting that by machines. But if the Lord chooses not to be merciful, then nothing happens, that's all. But there's no way of proving the connection other than the fact that Scripture is stating it. So therefore, those who have faith, they will accept the position of the Supreme Lord, that He is in control, and therefore the material operates under His control. Though, as I said, we cannot scientifically prove that, because the connection is very subtle. But one who has faith in Scripture will then accept the existence of the Supreme Lord and his position as the servant of the Lord. So that is why faith is the prerequisite to bhakti. We have faith in the conclusions of scriptures. We accept what scripture says, and then, based on that, then we can accept the process of bhakti to realize the Lord. Without that scriptural faith, we cannot do so. So, therefore, the scripture is also necessary. Without scripture, there can be no faith. So scripture takes on very great importance. However, scripture itself has to be delivered properly. And of course, in ancient times, they didn't have books everywhere. They didn't have other means of distributing that knowledge. It came to people. People memorize the scripture, they explain the scripture. So therefore, the only medium of scripture was a devotee who could understand the scripture. So that is why association with devotees is very important. It's through them that we get scripture. Through scripture, we get faith. Through faith, then we begin the process of bhakti. So therefore, we need the devotees of the Supreme Lord. So not only to begin bhakti we need scripture, but we also need devotees. And this begins the whole process. So in our process, we get the knowledge of scripture, the proper knowledge. And it's with that we begin to practice properly. If we don't have that knowledge, then our practice is faulty. So we need that knowledge. And then we begin the whole process. So, in the Bhagavatam, we'll have many descriptions of the Lord as the Creator, Ishvara, Parameshvara, etc. The purpose of this is to make us understand the exact position, precise position of the Supreme Lord in relation to everything else, including the Jiva. If the Lord is supreme, we cannot be supreme. Supreme means he's in the highest position. So if he is supreme eternally, nothing else can take his place. So, Prakriti is under the Jiva, under the Supreme Lord. Jiva is also under the Supreme Lord. Ishvara means he is the ultimate controller of everything. So in this verse we have the elements of material nature listed as being under the Supreme Lord. As well as that, the Jiva is under the Supreme Lord. All the individual Jivas are under the control of the Supreme Lord, so they cannot act independently. So that was the whole conclusion previously of Vritrasura and preaching to Indra, you are not independent. You have to act according to the will of the Supreme Lord anyway. So, yes, in a very general way, yes, the Lord does control. Everyone is dasa of the Supreme Lord because of his will, the jivas exist, etc. Yet, the very definition of the jiva is he is a particle of consciousness. And as a particle of consciousness, he has his own identity. That is a jiva. If he has no separate identity, then he's only part expansion of the Supreme Lord. That's all. Like Krishna can expand himself into so many parts and forms and Dwarka and Rasalila. That's Krishna. And it's the same identity as Krishna. If we have a different identity but we're conscious, then that is the jiva. And that different identity is also Anu. Amsa only. Dependent. So once he is controlled by the Supreme Lord, at the same time, he has his individual consciousness. Of course, that consciousness only operates by the will of the Supreme Lord. So the jiva can only see or perceive or feel or want or anything that jiva can do ultimately under the Supreme Lord. So all the functions of the jiva are under the Lord. However, the jiva does have eternal consciousness. He's conscious of himself, he's conscious of other things. So that's where his individuality lies. He can choose what to see or whatever like that. So, within the control of the Supreme Lord, that jiva does have some free will. And by that free will, then he chooses to enjoy in the material world, or he chooses to serve the Supreme Lord. So, the function of Scripture and the devotees of the Lord is to help the jiva choose. So, by the Scripture and the devotees, one can accept Scripture and develop faith. And through that faith, then one can have develop bhakti. So, essential to that faith is a definition of Supreme Lord. When we talk about faith in Scripture, then in Scripture, what is the content? The content of Scripture is to define Supreme Lord and the relationship of jiva to the Supreme Lord. That's the main function of Scripture. That's called sambandha gyan. And then once we do that, we establish the goal for the jiva in the material world and the process, that is bhakti, abhijaya. So only three things are functions of Scripture. The philosophy, the process, and the goal. But if we don't have these three things precisely understood, then it is difficult to perform sadhana. If we don't have a clear definition of the Supreme Lord, how we can have bhakti? Is the Lord Supreme or not? We don't know. Then how we can do bhakti? How we can establish a relationship with Him if we think He's only a devata? So, we need a definition, a precise definition of the Supreme Lord. We also need a precise definition of bhakti, how to serve the Lord. So therefore we have all varieties of service. We have mixed bhakti, pure bhakti, indirect bhakti, direct bhakti, etc. All varieties. So, we have to distinguish these things. Of course, then we have karma yoga, jnana yoga, nishtanga yoga also. So, we have to distinguish the processes and find the best process. So, without that definition of a process, then we're also bound to do faulty bhakti. And without understanding the goal, then the process is useless. Of course, we know that the holy name, even unconsciously chanted, gives results, but it doesn't get the final result. So, we can practice bhakti, but if we don't know the result, where we're going, then we are liable to choose the wrong goal, that is material goals instead, and then we have impure bhakti. So we do have to know what that goal is, and by knowing that goal, then we can concentrate on doing the proper sadhana to get to the goal. So all these things are revealed through the Scripture. And once we understand that, then we can practice properly. So Scripture has the function of guiding us in our sadhana, and of course the other function is to make the faith stronger. So it makes the faith stronger, and then it also helps in the execution of the process of bhakti to attain the goal. So in the Scriptures we find many examples like this, where we get a definition of the Supreme Lord and His exact position. Why over and over? Because it's very difficult for the jivas to understand. They can't accept. They want to use their imagination to understand the Lord. So, therefore, Scripture repeatedly indicates that supreme position of the Lord. So that is the case here with Vritrasura. He's emphasizing the supreme position of Narayan or Vishnu. Of course, he's preaching to Indra, who is somewhat confused about the position of bhakti and position of Supreme Lord and following his order, etc. So, Vritrasura's job is to convince him to follow the will of the Supreme Lord and take up his thunderbolt and kill Vritrasura. That's his ultimate motive here. So he says, it's the will of Vishnu that this should happen, so you should follow the will of the Supreme Lord.
acceptance of an authority is naturally difficult for living in the material world. But without which, any advancement in spiritual life would be.
Yeah. Ah, well, yes, the Lord, the jiva has a false sense of independence. He ultimately is not independent because he has so many things he cannot do. But he has a false sense of independence, ultimately rooted in the desire that he has a right to his own enjoyment. So that is the root of material existence. As long as that is there, he cannot advance. He cannot get to the process of bhakti because he can't accept the Supreme Lord. So the first step is we have to accept the position of the Supreme Lord and the jiva is his servant. If we don't do that, then we can't begin the process of bhakti. Now, of course, we can do the other type of bhakti, which is abhas, that is, like, I don't know, accidental, but that's about the extent. And we get effect, we can get liberation by that, but we cannot get prema. Generally, he's a devotee of Vishnu and Dasya Bhakti. Well, he's also eternally in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. He's a Shaktivesha avatar. So he's an eternal body.
Maharaj, nothing moves in this world unless there is a living entity present.
No, we can see that if things drop, moves. It's not because the body's there that. So there are things that move in the material world also. But of course we could say ultimately there must be somebody pushing it ultimately, I suppose we could say. So there's a living entity behind somewhere in the forest. Though I would suppose in physics they do have things like Big Bang, etc. that happen by themselves. Also, scientifically speaking, they can probably show that. But, as I said, ultimately the origin of everything, the impetus is there of a conscious being, that is in the form of Mahavishnu to instigate Prakriti to begin to operate.
Maharaj, even from the spiritual perspective, there is usually a personality behind everything, even the clouds or the moon, the earth. So Maharaj, there was this question which I forwarded also, that these microbiologists, they will grow cultures in the lab, which cannot exactly be, because they take some cells from somebody's body and they culture that. So it is not really a microorganism which is supposed to have an individual existence. Individual personality, but the question was of personality. Living entity means there is individual personality. And they grow these cells on will.
Yeah.
So they behave like a living entity, but it is not really a.
Well, they don't really behave like it. They don't have an individual consciousness that directs it to do
yes.
survive
yes.
like that. They don't have that.
Yes.
It's just got some aspects, let's say, of life,
yes.
like flesh or something like that. But it's not to the extent even of a complete organism like a bacteria.
Yes.
It's not on that level
yes.
even. Yeah. So that's a little different.
So that's probably a very different category of I mean, how do we understand? Either
well, it's a combination. It's like a part of your body. That's all. It's like cultivating a section of your body independent of your body, but it doesn't really have a consciousness.
But usually, we appoint these only to two things, either to the Lord or to the living entity. Any activity we trace back either to the Supreme Lord or to a particular individual living entity, presence of the soul.
Yeah.
But in this case, neither of them, I mean, probably the Lord only seems
well, we can say it's acting according to the laws of nature. Just like that, in your body also, things are also acting according to the laws of nature. Like the blood contents or whatever, and the heart pumping, and so they're operating according to the laws of nature, of course, also in relation to the jiva and paramatma there.
in the pujari room. That's it. Come on.